Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate it. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I am inclined to think that you are a hater. It is that time of week where we have a guest, and we now have one of my all-time favorite guests to have on The Right Time. It has been a while. Joining us live from San Antonio, his name is Bruce Bone. Bruce, what's going on, man?
Bo, how you doing, brother?
Dude, I'm cold. It's so cold up here.
Well, you know, it's cold in San Antonio. It's a balmy 47, but it's going to get to 63.
Oh, that makes me feel so much better about that snow that's going to be coming when I leave work today. Way to make me feel good about this. I appreciate it.
There we go.
This ain't how it's supposed to work. I'm supposed to be the one that come on here and antagonize you.
Oh, my. You know what? But, you know, sometimes I try to take a little bit from the best.
Add a little to your game. Just throw a little something else on there.
There you go.
Man, so since we booked you, the NBA world exploded because everything with the Warriors seemed to go crazy. Now, when that first happened, I remember I saw it on the bench and, you know, you don't want to be the overreacting guy, right? Like, oh, man, this is going to be a big deal. Guys have stuff that come up. They get over it. And then everybody told us, oh, no. This seems to be a thing. So, like, what's your thought on this off the rip?
Well, as soon as it happened, I knew something was going on. I guess it's the former player in me. We know when things are, oh, they'll get over it, or, uh-oh, this is serious. And this was definitely one of those situations. You got to take into account this, Bomani, the fact that Kevin Durant can extend with Golden State. The fact that Kevin Durant left under some crazy circumstances in OKC, dealing with a dominant teammate as far as the personalities are concerned. Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. Now, did Sam Presti have an idea that something like this could have happened with him and Kevin Durant back during that time? I'm sure he thought, no, we got Kevin for the long haul. But I give credit to the Golden State Warriors because it is a business. And it is a business when you're talking about you got the top, one of the top scorers in the game, MVP, as far as the league is concerned, a two-time MVP of the NBA Finals. I think you want to make sure you can take care of things in a way you make him feel like he's welcome and you don't have a scenario where he bolts quite like he did in OKC.
Yeah, see, that part is where it gets to be interesting because it seems like the players had decided, look, man, we've been tiptoeing around this dude for 2 years. We're not going to do it anymore. But the owner is like, oh, no. I will continue to tiptoe.
Well, you know that it's, with the owners, it's about the money. And with players, you know, you're under contract. You got to deal what you have to deal with. And when it comes to all the success that Golden State has had, they deserve it because they definitely earned it. But at the same time, it's little things like that that tends to break up the great teams and the great dynasties that we've seen when it comes to this game of the basketball era. You look at what Kobe and Shaq were able to do in L.A. 3 times, they went to the NBA Finals 3 times in a row and won. And then all of a sudden, they have the rift. One guy's questioning another guy's character as far as Kobe saying, does Shaq work hard enough? Shaq saying Kobe needs to be quiet and just chill. We're going to be okay. It's those little fractures in the foundation that end up becoming huge scenarios when it comes to keeping the team together.
Yeah, because that was the thing to me is I was like, fatigue is what often breaks these things up, right? It's like it's not even so much like teams don't stop being good at basketball because this happens. It becomes a matter of fatigue, and it becomes impressive kind of what happened with the Spurs and the way they were able to stretch that across the time they did without that happening. But then also I remember, didn't Tim Duncan almost leave and go to Orlando once?
Well, you know, he was a free agent, Bo, and the fact that I think that's how, you know, in this era, you got to let guys go and test the waters. And that's what Pop did during that time. I remember because I was there like, hey, sure do like having you here, big fella. But in that scenario, a guy has to be able to go and see what else is out there. If you never have that opportunity to go and see what else is out there, you always have the thought process of, Do I stay or do I go? Did I mess up by staying here? You know, when Pop allowed Tim just saying, hey, you figure out what's best for you, he allowed him to exhaust all those situations under his own circumstances. When you have others controlling situations and saying your best opportunity is here or you should stay here, I think it kind of hangs in the mental area in the back of the mind of a guy saying, Maybe I should have instead of staying.
Now, from a distance, I had always wondered if Tim had just gotten tired of Pop hollering at him all the time, because Pop is a hollerer.
Well, see, I don't necessarily look at it as a hollerer. I think all coaches have a way of getting their points across, Bomani. All the great ones do. You look at Phil Jackson, we always remember him going, Scotty! Scotty! Or the whistle. Sometimes you can get tired of that whistle, man. Stop whistling at me. You know, I'm a grown man, coach. So you have that. You have Pat Riley in the three-hour practices, but the way that he treated you after that, you felt like you were gold. So everybody has their thing, but you got to understand this. With all great teams, there come great disciplinarians. And if you do not have that great disciplinarian, then you will not have that great team, Bomani.
So if you're Steve Kerr, how do you handle this? Like, were you surprised there was a suspension?
You know, I was surprised by the suspension, but it sent a message as well. The message is, you know, we're running things this way. We're not going to tolerate another player disrespecting another player, especially when it comes to this is a KD effect. Because it's KD, that's why they did it. There's, you know, for people to all of a sudden start to think, oh, they would have did that for anyone. No, they wouldn't have, because you're not talking about KD just being any kind of basketball player. He is an elite player. He is a star player. You can build a team around KD. If it wasn't for KD, these past two NBA championships, you can say maybe Golden State doesn't necessarily win those games. It is because of what he's able to do. And you want to understand that I got to protect him as an organization, and they're looking at things from a standpoint that maybe if we're protecting him, he will show favor towards us when it comes time to sign on that dotted line.
Now, the flip side, though, you got to kind of make this right with Draymond, right? Because I'm not sure they could win championships without him.
Well, this is the way the game has evolved. It's about scoring the basketball. And they feel like, you know what, even without Draymond, that toughness, that guy that initiates so much within their offense, they feel like they can still win even if they don't have him. Now, would they like that to happen? Absolutely not. But when it comes to picking and choosing, Bomani, guys are going to go with the offensive guy who can create so many matchup nightmares for a team, and that is Kevin Durant. You look at this team without Kevin Durant, you lose in the finals to the Cavaliers. You look at this team with Kevin Durant, you win in the finals with Kevin Durant against the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Now, what's your read on Durant?
You know, I've spent time with him, Bomani, and I enjoy his knowledge and all the things he has for the game. He's sort of a throwback guy when it comes to the understanding of what it takes to get to that level. At the same time, we all have shortcomings. Now, I don't think it's necessarily a shortcoming when it's who he is. He is not a guy that's going to get in someone's face and tell them, you need to do this, you need to do that. I felt like he was showing a lot more maturity in saying to Draymond, like, yo, give me the ball. We've come back. Don't you know that I've hit big shots in these moments when the clock is running down? I just need to go back to the finals when I come down and pull up on LeBron James for a three-pointer. So I was surprised but also happy with him being assertive, saying, hey, I need the ball at that time. Now, for Draymond, even though Draymond does a lot as far as, you know, getting guys going, he has to be a person that's willing to take it as well. It can't be just him being a giver. Kevin Durant said something to him. He didn't like what was said, and now we get into this big melee of what's going on and what the future could be. But as for Kevin Durant, I still think that he is a player that's continuously learning how to be a better leader, and in that, I think he's doing a good job.
Yeah, see, you had the same thought as me, because I just don't know what to make of Kevin Durant, because I've never seen anybody that good at basketball who had some of his, like, confidence issues, right? Like, it's mind-blowing to me. I feel like if I was that good at basketball, nobody could tell me nothing. But I had the same thought as you, that as much as people talk this noise about Durant, Durant was like, yo, pass me the ball. Like, I thought it was the same level of growth. You couldn't imagine him saying that to Russell Westbrook, for example. It was like, yo, okay,
no,
he's got this.
And I felt like Draymond felt a little like, yo, I've been here a lot longer than you. How are you going to say something to me? And let's go a little further. For him to come into a team quite like the Golden State Warriors and to feel like, okay, I'm going to say this. I'm going to go ahead and say this. They tell me to be open. They tell me that, you know, this is just as much part of my team as it is everyone else's. Well, I think I have the game on my side right now. You look at what we've been able to do, good things have happened. And so because good things have happened, you get this situation where now he's boisterous. And that's what you want from your superstar. But at the same time, Draymond, who's also a superstar on that team, he has to receive it. He has to receive it just as he gives it.
Yeah, and I thought one of the interesting things about this, too, the real reason this guy Draymond in trouble was he's dead wrong, right? Like, everybody on the team is like, why didn't you pass the ball? And so he's like, yo, pass me the ball. And then he went and brought up some whole other stuff, except it does seem like the other stuff people agree with, it just wasn't the time for it.
It wasn't the time for it, but what happens when we're wrong, Bomani? We look for excuses to bail us out. We look for other things to try to take the onus off of what we did. Look here, Draymond. We got 4 seconds to go. Give the ball to KD. You came down, and on top of that, Bomani, what I think led to him bringing up all this other stuff, he turned it over.
Yep.
You don't want to turn it over in those situations. So because he turned it over, now Kevin has said something to him. And in fact, like, hey, you know what? You give me the rock. You just turned it over. Well, you're not with us. Really? That's what you want to go with right now? Here it is. Kevin Durant just took a tour of the new facility. Now, I know, as well as so many other NBA players, if a player doesn't want to do something, he will come up with something and the team will back him. He took the tour. You got to look at that as a positive. He's coming off 2 NBA championships. You got to look at that as a positive. But don't be so selfish to bring up some petty stuff just because you've been called out, Draymond.
Now, how hard do you think it's going to be for them to shake this off?
It's not going to be hard because, you know what, this is the reality of the situation. When you have the reality of the situation that, okay, look here, I'm sure there's been a talk that has transpired, and this is probably how that talk went. Look here, Draymond, we can't have that, man. Look, we look at you as a big piece of what we're doing. We look at KD as a big piece of what we're doing. Now, in order for us to continue with the pieces that we have in our head, you got to be better. You have to be better with how you talk to people. And so you're going to get fined. You're going to get suspended because this is conduct detrimental to our group. So we got Boogie Cousins that hasn't come back yet. And the fact that he was trying to calm you down, that's also a situation. So we're going to nip this in the bud right now because this is a message to Boogie. That, hey, we're not going to tolerate all that stuff. Foolishness, as Grandma used to say back in church. Y'all better act right. So we get this understood. You come back and be the player you are, and we look at this as a bump in the road, and we keep it moving.
You know, that's a level I hadn't thought about. Like, I did find it funny that, you know, he was the peacemaker, Boogie Cousins. That's kind of like when Rasheed Wallace was trying to stop the fight in Detroit. It's like, whoa, how everything has changed.
Yeah.
But the other the part that I hadn't thought about was you do have to send a message to that dude that, like, that stuff you used to do, just so you know, we don't even let the cast that was already here behave like this.
Because what happens with basketball players, Bomani, is they see things that go on, and the first thing they want to say is, well, you didn't say nothing to him when he did it. It doesn't matter that that guy's a veteran on that team. It doesn't matter. Players all want to be – they want to be handled equally but at different times. You understand what I'm saying? So the fact that you do have to send messages because you can't leave it up to just the guys on the team to keep Boogie under control. And you have to have someone that's able to say something that this is our rules, this is what we're doing. So it's more than just Draymond. A lot of people are going to think, oh, my goodness, they're trying to send a message to Draymond. And they're going to get rid of him. No, Draymond is a huge piece of what Golden State's doing. But this is something that they have to do because it shows what their team and their nucleus is about. If you act out of line, you will deal with the repercussions of what you've done.
Yeah, and another thing I thought was interesting about this is, like you say, with Boogie Cousins being peacemaker, also the fact that Klay Thompson was like, dog, what is going on here? Like, that made everybody apparently in that locker room stop when Klay Thompson was like, come on, man.
Well, because Klay sees it from a standpoint of he had a father that was on Showtime, and his dad has told him many stories about what has transpired during those times, And I'm sure his dad has told him what things have transpired with those Lakers as far as the dominant Lakers with Shaq and Kobe. So more than anything else, because Clay has grown up in a situation, you know, he sees certain things going on, and his thought process is, you know, hey, come on. No. Come on. This is how the great dynasties end up disrupted forever. And I saw what was transpiring between Clay is sitting right between KD and Draymond, and all you saw him was going back and forth like he is in a tennis match. Like, what? Huh? Oh, really? And then you see him exhale like, here we go. And that's what you want to make sure you control, because if my memory serves me correct, Clay's coming up too.
Yep.
So if it gets to a point where it's just so nasty, now you got to deal with, will Clay be here as well? Even though Clay has stated, I want to be here, I want to ride this out, it can create a little different thought process as well.
Well, something I found interesting from, like, non-basketball players in this is just the assumption that people call each other the B word all the time, and that this is not such a big thing. Like, this is something you got to go with. And I'm like, I don't think it goes like that.
No, it don't go that way. You know, in the heat of the battle, certain things are said, and that's why we're supposed to try to utilize that thing called a filter before we let things come out of our mouth. I remember times where guys got really upset and got heated, but once you go that direction, it's a crossing of lines as far as I'm concerned, because my thought process is, no matter how bad things get, let's always keep the respect for one another. Because if we keep coming back to this and say, oh, you know what, man, you know, I'm sorry. Well, how sorry are you that you just let certain things fly? You have to take into account that you got to think before you speak as well. And so when you have those moments, it can come to blows, or it can become something that is a definite staple as far as, you know what, I remember that time when he called me out my name. I don't want to play with him. And it's done just like that.
Now, how does this go for Steph Curry, who was not there when it happened?
Steph received a lot of phone calls that night, and I'm sure he received one from Draymond. I'm sure he received one from KD. And both of them started out like this. Man, did you see what he did? Did you see? And it's like, if anything, it's one of those things where for Steph, it's like, man, look, you know, Dre, you should have gave him the ball. But see, Draymond is going to tell Steph, I was just trying to get it up quick because we only had 4 seconds. I didn't want to waste time and getting him to rock. Yeah, but Draymond, you turned it over. We didn't even get a shot. So let's just go ahead. It doesn't mean that you're bowing down to him, but he was rolling. He was rolling. He brought us back, tied the game up. He put us in that position. In that moment, Dre, you got to put your ego aside. You got to get off the ball, my man. And when when Steph talks to KD, then it's more or less like, look here, Kevin. Look, yeah, I know sometimes we deal with that with Draymond. We know he's emotional. We know that he wants to win too. But you can't take it personal to the point where we take it into overtime, because the game ended for us during that moment. So we got to make sure that we're bigger and better than those other situations that come up, because it's part of the game. It's just like another teammate getting under your skin. It just so happened this play that a teammate made got under his skin.
Now, have you ever played with the guy that required, I don't want to say coddle because that feels unfair, but Durant's a little delicate, right? Like, you got to work around him in some ways. Have you had a guy that was, like, important to a team in that way that you guys felt like, okay, maybe we got to treat him a little bit different?
Well, I'll just say it this way, Bo. It doesn't matter if how delicate the individual was. You know, sometimes a coach understands that, you know what, that player's going to get us 28 and 10 every night, so we're going to deal with him a different way. And that's just the reality of things that go on in this game. I remember Antoine Walker in Boston. Antoine shot, whether it was 3 guys on it or 7. Oh, my bad, 7 weren't allowed on the floor. That means 2 of his players were running in front of him. So the fact that, you know, Rick Pitino at the time, he knew what Antoine could do for him. Now, you didn't want Antoine facilitating the offense quite like that. You wanted him being aggressive. Same thing with Kobe. Kobe sent messages during the course of a Sacramento game where he didn't take many shots.
Yep.
And you could see what happened with that. So I think it's not necessarily handling with gloves a different way. I think the great coaches realize that they can't treat everybody the same, because it's just like parenting, Bomani. You cannot treat your kids the same. You can hold them to the same standards, but you can't treat them the same because they're different. Manu Ginobili. Manu wasn't one that was going to play in a style of, okay, let's do this, let's do that. You went ahead and understood that Manu needs to be free. And in his freedom, he brought a lot of sexiness to the game. He brought a lot of victories for us to the game. But if Greg Popovich wouldn't have realized that I can't treat him like I do, say, Tim, Tony, or someone else, then it would never have worked. We wouldn't have had the championships we had during that time.
You know, it's funny. I was watching, you know, the basketball love story that ESPN is doing, and they had one on Pop, and I did not realize this. They talked about Manu, like being in film, watching Manu do one of those crazy Manu things, and Pop would look at Manu, and Manu's response was, "That's what I do."
Well, hey, it got to a point where, you know, after a while, you see that. And for other guys, like, nobody would try a wraparound full-court pass. Nobody gonna try to go behind their back during that time. But Manu saw a gap. Manu was like Peyton Manning threading the ball in the zone. Whereas other quarterbacks, they may eat it, but Manu's going, I can give it to him. And you know what? Because of that, only he had that. So you dealt with it. So, again, back to that statement, you deal with guys that have those talents, Bomani, because you understand what they can do for the ball club.
You know, as I think about it, I feel like your Spurs teams were more interesting than most of us realize. Y'all just kept everything close, because we're talking about all this. And then in the early run, you're also adding Steven Jackson to this mix.
So, you know, I'm going to say that it's not that, you know, it's more that the media missed something in us,
right?
Because they felt that we were too vanilla. It's just, you know, I want my kids to emulate what they do, but at the same time, they're not as sexy as the Lakers. But let me tell you this: it's those teams that are able to focus amidst all that other stuff going on and continue to build is what it's truly all about. Now, I joke, I laugh at this now, whereas Pop used to rest guys, and I remember teams like, what is he doing? And next thing you know, all these teams are resting guys. How is that? What does that say about the mind of Greg Popovich and R.C. Buford and the fact that they were doing things long time ago that guys are just now catching up to?
Now, back to the Warriors right fast. Do you think Kevin Durant, like... No, because that is the thing. Like, I'm fascinated. I'm fascinated about the Spurs run, all the stuff with Pop, including, I think we don't talk enough about the fact that space between 99 and 03, right? Like, you win the championship in 99, you win it in 03, the Lakers win it in between, and what it must have been for the Spurs, like, to be like, oh, wait a minute, like, these guys are here, and then they were gone, and y'all were still there.
Well, I think it's more about how they continue to utilize the foundation player in Tim Duncan. You know, you look at Tim's years during that time, Tim did not finish his career as a back-down, pounded-inside kind of player. But that shows the versatility of what Tim Duncan was. And when you look at his versatility, you look at the creativity of what Pop and RC were able to do as far as utilizing European players in the way that they played as far as ball movement, player movement. A lot of teams are trying to get to that point now, and they see the benefits of the ball movement, but this is something that they were able to do and create that longevity of what we've seen as far as a team that's able to make it to the playoffs for 20 years in a row.
And Tim Duncan was cold. Like, I mean, it seems like an obvious point to make, except you go back and look at those young Tim Duncan clips, he was so cold.
Bruh, look here. There would be times where I remember he went for 50 at the Alamo Dome, and I happened to be under the basket when he dunked on somebody. And because I couldn't do anything like that, I just screamed for him. Because, you know, he wasn't going to scream. I'm the one running down, going, ah, go get it. And then it's like, somebody like, Bruce, shut up, man. You didn't do anything. Yeah, but I'm with the guy that did it. You can't tell me nothing.
Here's what I can ask you, though. How come y'all ain't never take him to get haircuts with y'all?
Man, look here. He was focused on his craft. Care didn't mean nothing. Focus on the craft.
I'll say this, though. A couple years ago when he made, shall we say, a bit of a lifestyle change, all of a sudden them haircuts was crisp. It's almost like he got a little nudge, like, hey, you might need to go in there and get an edge up. You know how it goes.
Man, look here. I can't say nothing about TD in his hair because I have none. Matter of fact, when I see him, I get mad that he can get them fades and things and, like, tease me like that. I'm like, why you got to get a haircut, man? Huh?
But see,
I cut my hair in the dark and it still come out good.
See, that's why we can say something, though, because he out here wasting it. Like, I'm in the same boat as you. He out here wasting it. But the person who nudged him to that barbershop once got in my Twitter mentions about it because she didn't understand. And I'm like, no, you're doing the Lord's work right now. This is just how it works. Your life changes, and then you get your hair cut a little bit more. You buy some new clothes, it got a little more fashionable.
Look here, man. Hey, it's about evolving.
Yes.
That's all it is, Bomani. You know, when you retire, you don't go away, man. You evolve as an individual. So you going to get off my boy before I come through this phone and lay hands on you.
I'm just saying, I just saying we all been there, just in different ways. That's all. And by the way, speaking of people,
you got me huffing and puffing like I'm Draymond right now.
But we'll make the transition. Speaking of people who could use better haircuts, do you think Kevin Durant is going to come back to the Golden State Warriors?
I only pause because of what transpired in OKC. I hope, and again, I hope that this is nothing that can send him somewhere, because now it's just, you know, there's a like LeBron left to Miami and he came. I don't think he could have gone anywhere but back to Cleveland in order to get to L.A. So I do believe Kevin Durant will stay because he sees that the organization is behind him, especially with how they handled this situation. If anything more than that, I think that he realizes that even if there is a situation that transpires, he cannot do it in the heat of the battle. Even though I think he was 100% right, he cannot do it in the heat of the battle as far as getting after it with a guy during a timeout, even though he was in the right. It's one of those things that he can say something like, yo, hey, you missed me. And he can see Draymond huffing and puffing because he turned it over and say, you know what, I'm going to come at this at a later time, maybe tomorrow at our film session, or tomorrow we grab some breakfast and then we can hash it out.
All right, we'll be back in a minute to talk about the East and the NBA. But first, guys, you ever had a made-to-measure suit? It fits so much better because they're specific for your body. You can't go off the rack after that. And there's no longer any excuse for wearing an ill-fitting suit, especially when they're available at such great prices. Highest quality, lowest price, Indochino is America's leading made-to-measure menswear company. They make suits and shirts to your exact measurements for an unparalleled fit and comfort. Guys love the wide selection of high-quality fabrics and colors to choose from, and the option to personalize the details, the lapel, the lining, pockets, buttons, even your own monogram. I got some shirts from Indochino, and they fit fantastically. Now, here's how it works. You can visit a stylist at our showroom or measure at home yourself and shop online at Indochino.com. You choose your design customizations. You submit your measurements with your choices. Then relax while your suit gets professionally tailored and mailed to you in a couple of weeks. Then just watch as the compliments roll in. Now, November is Black Friday season, meaning 2018's lowest prices. You get up to 70% off of everything. And this week, my listeners can avail of Black Friday pricing by using code BOMANI at checkout. That's 70% off the regular price for a made-to-measure suit, plus shipping is free. That's Indochino.com, promo code BOMANI for up to 70% off. It's an incredible deal for a made-to-measure suit. Once you go custom, you don't go rack. All right, now, Bruce, we'll switch gears a little bit to what is going on with the Eastern Conference. Now, let me ask you this. Dan Wetzel wrote this column where he said that the East is stronger than the West right now. Do you agree with that?
No, I do not agree with that. What is going on is LeBron left the East, and now you got guys, you can't necessarily determine one team as being the best. I love the parity that's going on out East with a lot of the teams, but I don't think you can – you cannot say that it's best in the East when you still got the West and their up-and-down style. You still got Golden State in the West. You got teams that are up-and-coming in the West. Come on, that's foolishness.
Dog, see, I can't ride with you on this. I don't know if the East is better, but after Golden State, all them other teams look kind of the same, man.
Well, a team like Golden State will make everybody else look the same, Bomani. When you're looking at, you know, this is a copycat league. No one can copy what they're doing. You look at Houston. Houston's going to figure it out once they get, you know, this trouble all squared away.
Dang.
But, you know, they're going to get it together as far as being what they are. You're going to see the Lakers become a better ball club, as we see before our eyes. Portland is still a team that you got to deal with. So, I mean, just those teams in itself, Utah, they got some stumbling going on because now teams respect them. And let's not even take into account what transpired last night with them, but we're going to move past that. Memphis is playing inspired basketball again. So, you know, I know we talk about what Boston's doing, Milwaukee's doing, and some of the other teams, I mean, Philadelphia, but you cannot say that they're better in Toronto out there in the East, but you can say it's more competitive. It's almost like the East reminds me of when Michael Jordan retired the first time. When he retired the first time, teams were like, uh-oh, Black Cat is gone. Let's go, fellas. We got a chance. But now, you know, now LeBron is gone. Now you have teams that are, they say, hey, we can represent the East. We can represent the East, whereas before it was, we can play LeBron and his team in the Eastern Conference Finals and just kind of hope for the best.
Now, here's what I would say is the counterpoint, right? We're going to talk more about Toronto a little later, but Toronto made the big move and added maybe the best player in the conference. Like, it's hard to trade a guy like DeMar DeRozan to get a better player. They got a better player. Milwaukee, now that they actually have a real live head coach, with Giannis and everything they got going there, they look a lot better. I figure Boston is going to figure some of this out once they figure out what their rotation is and come to terms with the fact that they got too many low spades and they're going to need to trade them for a Joker. And then we got Philadelphia just adding Jimmy Butler in that scenario. Like, I feel like all those teams are at least as good as, say, Portland, who right now is at the second team in the West.
You know, those teams on the East, yes, it's hard to argue what you said. But at the same time, Bomani, Portland's getting a lot better, especially with the youth that they're playing. You see the length that they have. And when you take into account in the East that all this figuring out stuff, it's going to take Philadelphia some time. And I say some time because you're going to have to deal with Jimmy learning the system and not wanting to step on toes. It's different if you come in sooner during training camp where you guys really get a chance to learn one another and what you do. But there's going to be indecisive moments that Jimmy's going to have, and it's going to slow down the process of where everybody has them going. I say look at that Philadelphia team in 2 months. In 2 months, you will see a different team than you do these next couple of weeks coming up. But that, and then same thing with Boston. It's the figuring out things of how teams are now preparing for you once you've had success. I look at Toronto in their situation. What's going to happen when they have that two-game or three-game in a row that they lose? That's what happens in those scenarios. They play some teams that are very competitive, but their schedule hasn't been as, say, difficult or as challenging as Boston and Philadelphia's as far as I'm concerned. And with Boston, you know, as you say, trade some of them spades. They're trying to hold off on doing that, trying to make sure they get the best of best deals. And sometimes that just takes time, and you got to fight within that time. And hopefully Kyrie Irving don't throw too many more basketballs in the stands.
Well, you talked about Jimmy not wanting to step on toes. How long you think that he can keep up, like, trying not to step on toes before it just becomes, yo, we got to do this how we do it?
You know, I think because you got someone like Embiid there, I don't think that's going to happen. You have strong personalities there in Embiid as well as, oh, goodness, I can't think of my guy's name.
Simmons.
Yeah, the fact that they're both strong-willed individuals. They won't allow Jimmy's other stuff to affect them as far as what they're trying to do.
Well, Bruce, it sounds like you feel like Minnesota went out like a bunch of suckers, because I do.
Well, you know what? This hiatus I had away from you, I've learned a lot how you like to jug and poke and jug. But I'm not going to say that, but I will say this. In this game, you got to have a competitive desire. You know, I coach my kids. They go to private schools. And when we play some of those inner city schools, I see my private school kids kind of take a step back sometimes. And what you have to do in those scenarios is build up the courage of those guys. It's almost like the Wiz. You got to take them to go see them. You got to go get a heart. Come on. It's about competition. No matter what, if you succeed, if you fail, it's about competition, Bomani. And when you don't compete, it stands out. So now you're really going to get a chance to see what they're made of, because now you're going to have guys, either they're going to do it the right way, or we're going to be talking about Minnesota saying, man, Jimmy was on to something.
I will say this, though. Carl Towns has been balling when Jimmy's not there. Like, when Jimmy got out of there, all of a sudden Carl Towns is like, I am free to be myself again.
Yeah, and that happens. Now you don't have to worry about trying to pacify other guys. Now you can go ahead and just be who you are. Sometimes that's what's necessary in these moments.
Yeah, like with Philly, it's going to be interesting, because I agree with you that those guys, there's a lot less back down in Joel Embiid. Like, Jimmy's not going to go in there and bully Joel Embiid.
Man, and Joel's not from the U.S.? What? Like, man, you better go on ahead with that.
Yeah, like, now Ben Simmons is going to be interesting, because, look, you hear things around the league like I hear things around the league. Not everybody loves Ben Simmons. He's not the easiest guy for some people to get along with, and he can't shoot. Knight, I ask you this. Have you ever seen a player this good who, forget about can't shoot, just won't even try?
Well, this is the thing, Bomani. You gotta utilize guys for their strengths, you know, and that's what you do. You just continue to utilize him for his strengths. I couldn't stand when John Wall was jacking up three-point shots. I was like, get to the elbow and get that mid-range shot down first and then expand again. And we've seen what that's transpired to. Now he is a more consistent shooter in the mid-range area. Now he can knock down three-point shots, but it just doesn't happen overnight. This is Ben's actual second year of playing. It's going to take some time, but as long as he will continue the process of putting the earplugs in and not listening to what's coming in from the outside, he's going to be all right. But don't try to prove the naysayers wrong right now. He has to play his style of game, and that style of game is getting to the rim, because he does such a good job of it. And when those teams drop off, that's when he has to go ahead and live with all the work he's putting into that other aspect of his game.
I also feel like if this trade helped Philly in any way, is it allowed them to put Markelle Fultz on the bench. Like, I don't want to bully the dude, because he clearly seems to be going through something. But I feel like this lineup that they tried it out last night, even though they lost, with Redick, Wilson Chandler, and Jimmy Butler, the fact that Ben Simmons won't shoot becomes alleviated in a way, because you have guys at the very least that are credible.
Yeah, but you know what? Even with those guys, you got to deal with what you have, and that's what they have. Ben's going to have to be able to knock down shots, and it will happen, but it just doesn't happen overnight. It's going to happen during the course of a season. He's going to have to be in those scenarios. You can't try to hide that right now. Same thing with Markelle Fultz. You have to deal with that as far as, you know what, you got to keep giving them encouragement. And I like to say this to a lot of the young kids that I coach: become comfortable with the uncomfortable. So the uncomfort is for folks to try to do it the right way. It's uncomfortable, but as you continue to do it, you become more accustomed to it. With Simmons, elbow shots, when they keep dropping off, get into that mid-range area and become comfortable with the pull-up. Become comfortable with the things that you're doing at practice and have those things transfer over to the game.
Now, Boston, you know, I touched on that just a little bit there, but I really do think it's very interesting. They have so many good players, but they don't have one superstar. And the one closest thing they have to a superstar, I think, is Kyrie. And I don't think that Kyrie makes other players better necessarily. And as good as I think Brad Stevens is, I am fascinated by what is he going to try to turn this team into, especially if Gordon Hayward doesn't start rounding into shape.
Well, I think you have to be patient with Gordon still. I mean, it's still coming off that injury. With Kyrie, I think it's a challenge for Stevens is now, okay, I have him for the whole year. How do we continue to send the message of what we want to do as far as what we're doing? And he will. I like what they're doing as far as what they're constantly still teaching. And again, I'm going back to that whole ordeal of it's the process of when you've been successful during the course of the latter part of the season, where, as they say, stars are made in the playoffs. Tatum and Brown, you know, Rozier. Now it's about getting back to the basics of what you had as far as that hunger and desire to play for your teammate more than for self. There's times where guys try to do it on their own and it doesn't work out. You got to get back to that style of play when it's about the team and not necessarily me and what I've been able to do.
I bet I know who your favorite player on the Celtics is.
Who?
Marcus Smart.
Nope.
Really?
No. I feel like sometimes I do like his hustle and desire, but there's moments where I think where Smart wants to be more of a hero and prove to people what he can do instead of just playing the game. This is where you got to know your roles. It's not necessarily his role to be that guy to take a shot at the end of the clock or end of the shot clock. Stick to who you are. Be who you are as far as being that tough-nosed defender, getting after it. And when that shot comes to you, then you do that. But don't try to create so much where you're not getting those shots and who hands the ball should be in, he's not getting an opportunity to be who he should be.
So who's your guy? Like, is it Tatum? Is it Horford?
Love Horford.
I like Horford.
Because Horford's doing it on both ends, and he stretches the defense. But more importantly, he plays physical down low, and he likes to get after it because it's necessary. And so when you have that in the player that says, you know what, I know what my strength is. Hey, give me the ball on the block. I'm a turn, face, up fake, jump hook. That's old school, baby. You know I'm 47, Bomani, and I love me some old school.
Hey, man, let me tell you about the thing with Horford. I went to Game 3 last year against Philly at the arena down there. Yo, Embiid had nothing for him at all.
Look here. I forget which game it was where they turn it over. Who was the cause of those turnovers with Embiid?
Horford.
Horford denying the ball, getting a hand on ball. Those are little things that get me all excited right now in 46 degrees weather.
You know why I thought Marcus Smart was your guy, though, right?
Why is that, Bomani?
Because he's a tough-nosed defender.
But you know what? I do respect that about Marcus.
I see some similarities between the two of y'all. Like, I can see it. Like, how do you rate his flopping skills? You as an expert in the art. Like, how do you rate his flop?
Wow. I feel like that was a shot.
No.
But you know, Bruce,
you wasn't flopping, Bruce.
Therapist, I've been working with my therapist, and my therapist said that you were going to talk about this kind of stuff. You know what? I'm prepared for it, Bomani. You know what? I love you too, brother. I love you, and I love your perspective.
Bruce, you went out here flopping every now and then, man.
Me? Do you have it on tape?
I'm just saying, it wasn't anything for the team, Bruce. You weren't willing to take a flop here for the team.
Do you have it on tape?
I'll go look it up. I may not have no flops. Like, if you want to talk about the stuff that's on tape, we can go there. I was just trying to give you I'm just trying to help my team.
Hey, wasn't me.
My thing with Marcus Smart, though, is, like, I look at your game. You had the shot, right? You were, like, a legitimately good defender, all of that. I look at Marcus Smart, and I'm like, I don't know what you're good at other than just like getting in the way and playing really hard, but there's so much better when he's on the floor. It's always been the case no matter what I feel about his game.
Yeah, because he gives you the intangibles, Bo. The fact that he can defend and he's going to do the dirty work, whereas some of the other guys aren't willing to do that. So you need those type of guys on the floor in order to get things going from time to time because we all understand that this game – things happen in a way where sometimes you're not going to be able to make every shot. You're going to have to get some of those hustle plays and those hustle points that's going to allow to you guys getting that lead and being a dominant team at times.
Other thing about the Celtics, too, quietly, they got like a handful of dudes that are ready to fight.
Like, well, that's called toughness. That's Boston tough. That's Boston strong. Come on, Bo.
No, but you think about this, right? Because, you know, Brad Stevens, they think the Butler thing, those teams are tough as all get out. But between Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, even Aaron Baines. I don't think you want them problems either because Aaron Baines was giving it to Embiid in the playoffs too. Where he's like, oh yeah, bang against me, whatever. Like if it goes off in the East and all of them get into a fight, I surprisingly have my money on Boston. Who knows? Gordon Hayward might come in from the side and hit somebody with a sack of nickels.
You know what? You are absolutely right. Bomani, I got to run. I just got a text from my kid's mom, so you know what that means. I'm in trouble.
Oh, yeah. You should probably handle that.
Nah, I appreciate you, brother. Hey, we going to continue this at another point, I hope.
Oh, yeah, man, because I wanted to ask you about your favorite player in Toronto and how you felt about, you know, what's going on with him and how that's going to go.
Can't wait to talk about it, baby.
All right, bud.
All right, bro.
All right, now. Gabe, that is our first baby mama ending of The Right Time. Has that happened before on the Barnwell podcast?
It has. I mean, people, you know, duty calls from time to time. And, you know, the beauty of this medium is that things like that happen and they're accepted and
yes.
They make it funnier for the listener because life
yes.
isn't perfect and you get to see a little bit behind the scenes.
Yes. And I'll also tell you, only an NBA player would be like, oh, snap, I got a text. Holla at you.
Peace.
Yeah, I don't know what y'all about to do. I love Bruce, though. Like, I have so much fun with Bruce, and I'm glad that I was. You know what I think happened? Bruce figured since I got the joke in about them dirty players, that meant it was the end. I normally save it to the end with Bruce.
Yeah, you know what? He did take that really personally. I was about to check to see if I had any audio tape of him flopping to see if, you know, we might be able to pull receipts on it.
Let me tell you, my favorite thing about Bruce is Bruce lets me joke with him about that stuff. Like, I love talking to Bruce about that. Just because Bruce knows what it is. Bruce knows exactly what it is. We'll have Bruce on again. I thought he lived in California. Now we know he lives in Texas. He can wake up and record this with us.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while coming trying to get him, and he's just been kind of hard to track down. But I'm glad we were finally able to get him to come on and that he's down to come on in the future because I thought he was hilarious.
He's the best. I love that dude. But hey, man, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this thing here 2 times a week. My man Gabe Bassain handles everything behind the scenes. Thank you. Thanks to Bruce Bowen. We'll get him back on the line at another point. Also, thanks to our sponsor, Indochino. Remember, rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to think that you are a hater. Also, remember, we have got a show survey. We're just asking some questions so you can help us out to improve the podcast. We just want to get your feedback on some of these things. Check it out here, swurv.in/Bomani. swurv.in/Bomani. A-N-I. All right, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or subscribe on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.
The Right Time with Bomani Jones is presented by Goodyear. Discover the possibilities. Goodyear, more driven.